Hello, everybody. Y'all come on in.
Let's get our Wednesday party started. Let me pull up my notes. You're busting some common excuses today. Got up early this morning and started looking at what I wanted to teach y'all and kind of came up with a few other things that I want to make sure that I mention because excuses are something that are never going away. I hope all of you know that. Like, good Lord, if you don't know anything, is that excuses never go away. We get better at recognizing when we're using excuses. We get better at overriding excuses. We get better at talking to them, not listening to them, going forward anyway. Like, that's really all that's going to happen. And you get better also at understanding the difference between your reasons and your excuses. Every now and then we have really good reasons. So, like, for me, a lot of times when it comes, I always like to use working out because it's the one thing that, on one hand, it is just part of who I am now. Like, I like to work out. Like, I like the version of me that works out. Let me put it to you like that, because I think that some clarification would be very helpful. I like that I am someone who works out. I enjoy the results of working out. So I like the stress relief that it provides. There was something funny. We were shooting some social media content the other day, and my social person was over here and she said, "So I need you to fall into the floor and then I need you to pop up and I need you to start talking." And I said, "What?" And she said, "It's going to be hilarious." And I said, "I don't know if I can just like pop up. I'm like 50 years old now." But I told her, I said, "What I know I can do, because I have to be talking through all of it." I said, "Here's what I know I can do." And I was very impressed with my fitness at this point. I was like, "I can semi-squat down. I can actually fall down, roll up, and then turn around and then just start going." And I thought, you know what? Back in the day, like if I had never lost my weight and never became someone who exercised, I don't even think I could do that. If I had even tried to fall, I would have broke something. And so like I love the results of what happens as someone who works out and stuff. But I'm going to be really honest. And I think I tell y'all this all the time now. I dread almost every single time I go, and my brain offers up all kinds of excuses. And they're usually very good excuses. Not all excuses are bad. Like, I think that's really important for all of you to hear is that excuses aren't bad. Your brain offers excuses simply because whatever you're fixing to do is probably something that is not as fun as whatever is something else it could be doing. Or it's something that you've got such a story around it that your brain's freaking out, like, "Ooh, God, that sounds so hard. That sounds so awful. Why would we want to do that?" So, like, if I'm telling myself, I got to go to the gym, and that means these things can't get done, my brain is going to really fight me going to the gym. Like, and I want to let me give you an example. So, yesterday, I had, no, it was Monday. I'm starting a brand new workout plan, and I'm going to post it in the Facebook group for all of you. I know a lot of y'all are like super curious about, like, what do you do? What do you lift? Like, how do you eat? All these other kinds of things. And I just been thinking about it recently. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start sharing more shit in the Facebook group, just more behind the scenes stuff. It's not going to be every day. This is not going to be a scheduled thing, but I do want to start giving y'all a little bit more behind the scenes shit. So if you do like that, if you'll leave me some emojis, that'll make me kind of know that y'all actually want that content rather than just me always like just teach, 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 teach. Okay, thank you. That helps. So I'm going to share my new upper body lower split. I literally went out on the internet, found one that I liked, created my own spreadsheet, subbed out a few of the exercises for things that just in my personal background of all the years that I've been lifting and stuff that I know were important lifts for a woman. And I just made sure those were in there. And none of them were complicated. I'll explain that when I share it. But I was on Monday, it was the first day of the brand new lift. And you would think this is usually what happens when I have a brand new schedule. Like day one or week one is pretty easy. Like my brain is not necessarily fighting it. It's not like, no, not this time. It was just like, new schedule, walk, walk. Like, I don't care. And all day Monday, I was putting that workout off because I had a lot of work to do. And I knew that on Tuesday and Wednesday, I didn't have a lot of time to get it done. And I was just like, I just don't have time to do this. I just don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do this. And so, like, all day long, that's all my brain was talking about. It was just like, it's going to be hard because it's the first time. It's going to take longer because it's the first time. You don't have time to go over there. Like, literally, like everything's felt very true. And so I was thinking about us having no BS excuse this month. And I was like, what is the conversation I need to be having about this workshop or about this workout right now? I know what conversation my brain is having, but what is the conversation I need to be having? And so I was like, okay, normally my workouts take 35 minutes. This one's likely to take 40 to 42 minutes. So now my brain could be like, well, that's not exactly a lot longer. Like in my mind, it's like, it's just going to take so much longer, as if I was just going to be walking through the gym, like I was in a desert searching for an oasis. It's like, seriously, we're talking probably 7 extra minutes while you figure this out. And so that calmed me down a little bit. It's like, all right, well, that excuse is no longer really valid. Like now when my brain's wanting to say, and I keep saying, like, we're talking 7 minutes. Now I'm like, okay, I've turned down the volume on these cues. All the work that I have to do. What is the conversation I need to be having? You have plenty of time to get your work done today. And if you don't get it all done, then get up earlier tomorrow because we're not skipping the workout. Like, I literally, this is just kind of where now we take a parental hand. Like, I'm not yelling at myself. I'm not calling myself a lazy bitch. I'm not like anguishing that I'm having excuses. I'm not wasting emotional energy. I'm like, I just wish I felt like doing it. I just wish I wanted to. I didn't do any of that. I was already tired of my bullshit. I didn't need extra bullshit to be extra tired. So I had to think about what is the conversation that needs to be happening. Here, I needed to just tell myself, we're going, and this is when we're going. And we're making the decision. You don't have to like it. You don't even have to enjoy it. But we don't have to make it harder than it needs to be. And your work will get done. And I trust that. And this is what I want to offer to all of you, because a lot of you are like nurses with all kinds of like things and teachers with all kinds of things and stuff like that. I don't give a fuck what your job is. We all got crosses to bear in our work. Every one of us. And when you sit all the time and you talk about your job like it's an asshole, you feel like an asshole all the time. And when you only describe your job as it's taking over your life versus what the hell is actually happening here. So I have coached several nurses who have, like, what do you call them? The not the records. Y'all have to do the charts, the charting. It's kind of like me and content. I have two memberships, which means every fucking month I have to develop a new course for both memberships every single month. That is like a lot of charting. And one of the things I always tell myself is like, you know what? My shit always ends up getting done. So I can either get it done with a better attitude, or I can keep my shitty attitude and drag myself through the work. But there's only one person who's suffering. Charts are not going to suffer. But Corinne's going to suffer. The nurse is going to suffer. Lesson planning's never going to suffer. But a teacher will suffer if the teacher keeps talking about it as if it's taking over their life. If you know 100% sure you're going to end up getting your work done, then all you need to do is you need to tell yourself in face of that excuse is, okay, how do I get and think about the things I also need to do that are just for me done alongside this? So, for example, when it comes to a lot of you will use that excuse around planning, like as if your charts and your teacher plans, your courses you got to develop, whatever it is, your meetings, whatever it is that you do, you will act like planning can't be done. And it's just not true. Planning literally takes 5 minutes of your day. If that, you don't even have to use my planner. If you just spoke it into your notes app so you have it, that's good enough. Like telling yourself you don't have, like when you say, I don't have time to plan my food, you might as well just say this. I have no interest in losing weight. I have more interest in getting my charts done. Like, to me, the conversation that needs to be had is don't use your same old excuse all the time. Get to where you have a more powerful thought that you insert every time you hear it. Because if you keep saying, I don't have time, and you change it to every single time you say that, it's like, that's not exactly right. I refuse to make time for my weight loss because right now I'm going to do charts. You need to feel the discomfort of your choice. When you say, I don't have time, guess what? You get to feel a little justified. You get to feel a little better than thou, martyrish. Like it's giving you a payoff. An excuse does that. An excuse doesn't just be, it's not just the gateway sentence to doing something that you said you wouldn't do. An excuse usually feels at the heart of it, relieving and good. And that is why we go for it. So one of the tactics is to make sure that when you hear excuses and you have your common ones, this is the nice thing about excuses. They're never hidden, they're loud and clear, and they're on fucking repeat. Your brain's never that clever. It's not like it's using like a thousand different variations of it tastes so good or you don't have time. It's always, I don't have time for this. I'm too busy for this. You will hear the same shit over and over and over again. So it's easy to find. And now all we got to do is like use it as a trigger to replace it with something else. And one of the keys is your excuse can't feel good. If it feels good, it will always win. Why? Because our brain is designed to try to keep us comfortable and just doing the same things. It's designed not to stretch us. It's always designed to conserve energy. So we don't want to work against our brain. So if your excuse comes up and it's like, I don't have time, then we need to get really clear. We need to say, like, first of all, do I have 7 minutes to get this done? Is better than I don't have time. Just even ask yourself, can I spend 7 minutes? Can I spend 5 minutes on this? Because here's the thing, if you legit didn't have 5 minutes because like it's time to make a plan and you hear your kid screaming in the other room because they cut a toe off, then we're just like, no, I don't. It is time to get Junior to the emergency room. But if you're just sitting there drinking coffee and you're dreading your day and you know you got all these charts and stuff and you think, oh, I just need to go ahead and get to the office. I just need to go ahead and get all this started. And you ask yourself, do I have 5 minutes though to make a plan before I even get this started? I guarantee you, it is a very, like, it makes your brain halt and think for a second. And that's the key. Excuses aren't making you think. They're like just mystifying you. Like putting a hypnosis on you, and you have to challenge them. So our excuses can't seem better than what we're doing. Now, this also means a lot of times the stuff that you're going to sub, the things that you're going to say back to yourself, doesn't feel good all the time. It feels clarifying, alarming, raises up your like head out of the sand. Like, what's happening? And the difference, but like sometimes a thought's going to feel bad. But here's how you know how to do it. We're not going to tell ourselves thoughts that make us feel bad because we're making fun of ourselves or we're tearing ourselves down. Like, we're not going to say, You're a lazy bitch. You should be able to plan. No, we're going to say, do you have 5 minutes or not? Do you have 5 minutes to get your shit together on your food today so that you at least know what you're going to be eating in the face of all the things you need to get done? Like, that might not feel amazing. Like, it's not like, you know, you have all the time in the world and you're so smart. I'm sure you're going to get through all of your charts, blah, 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 blah. Like, don't go for stuff like that all the time. Sometimes we have to be the parent. It's like, just like with me and my gym, so the thought we're going at 3 o'clock, get your clothes on so that you're ready, because I'm not debating this with you anymore and you don't have to like it in order to go, but we are going to go. Doesn't feel great, but it also doesn't feel demeaning. It feels very clarifying. It feels very matter of fact. And it actually feels helpful. It's like, well, okay, if this is what we're doing, because the last thing I want to do is spend my entire day anguishing over it. And if every single time my brain wants to anguish about whether I'm going and I tell myself that, I'm teaching myself that excuse is no longer valid. That excuse is not what we're going to use. And that is what you really have to do with excuses. Through repetition all the time, saying things back, highlighting your excuses, saying what you're going to think instead, teaches your brain that eventually it doesn't have to offer them up. Sometimes, like, some of my excuses are just gone. Like, they don't come up anymore, but it's very few of them. Majority of the time, though, for me, what I have found is that my brain is always offering up excuses. I am just really good at smelling the bullshit. I know when I'm bullshitting myself. And I've also thought about the consequences of listening to excuses so often. It's like, well, you can eat that, but this is how you're going to feel tomorrow. This is what's going to happen on the scale. Like, I'm so good now at, just like last night, I was having a really tough time going to sleep. And I wanted to go, like, we've got Halloween candy in the house because I did a photo shoot not too long ago and we had to have Halloween candy for it. And I was like, girl, put all that in my pantry. That way I'll have candy this year. Because usually we just turn the lights out and don't answer the door because I don't like going to the grocery store. So there's that. We are so anti-Halloween at my house. I was like, this year I'm going to have that big ass bowl and we are going to open the door for the kiddos this year. Well, I got milk duds in there because they had to buy my favorite candy. So last night I'm having a hard time going to sleep. Literally at 9 o'clock, Chris has fell asleep. And I was sitting there going, you should go get just a few milk duds. I was actually a little hungry. I wasn't like real hungry, but just a little hungry. And I don't think it was real hunger. I think I was cranking up some hunger because I was tired and I wanted to go to sleep and I was having a hard time falling asleep. And so I sat there and I thought, why am I wanting candy? And I said, because I don't want to listen to myself beg for it. Like, it's just getting worse because I'm begging for the candy in my head. And then Chris is asleep. And so I just kind of started like narrating. Chris is asleep. So there's also the lure of he won't know that I did it, as if I'm being bad. And I just told myself, I was like, Corinne, you can have candy if you want. Mish, I'm promoting you now. Sorry, I forgot you. I was like, you can have candy if you want it. It's in there. And it doesn't matter if Chris is awake or not. Candy is just candy. So I just started talking to myself. And then I told myself, I was like, if you want the candy and you're actually hungry, have some. But do not eat it simply because you're tired, simply because you can't sleep. Simply because you can't take your mind off of candy. The way we're going to take our mind off candy is we're going to have a better conversation about it. So I started telling myself, like, you will wake up in the morning and you will not be proud of that decision. You will wake up in the morning wishing that you had had milk duds when you could truly enjoy it. You will wake up tomorrow having to do work on why candy is okay, even though you ate it like an asshole last night. And I just kept running through all the reasons why eating that candy by myself in bed just wasn't going to be that pleasant tomorrow. Eventually, I talked myself to sleep. It kind of like extinguished the excuse some. So the reason why I tell you this story is because now what happens for me after years and years and years of doing that, my brain notices when I have an excuse. And when I'm saying like, oh my gosh, I'm just like, I've got all the excuses today. My brain also automatically now goes to, well, here's what's going to happen if you don't do this, if you follow through on the excuse. I like sometimes I have to consciously do that, but now I unconsciously have excuses and I also unconsciously start weighing them out. I now tell myself the full truth. And for me, when I know the full truth, 75% of the time, I am going to make the right choice. 25% of the time, I'll follow through on an excuse. I will not be proud of myself the next day. I will tell myself like, I wish I hadn't have done that. Like I'll have regrets, but I don't beat myself up anymore. I then immediately go into trying to figure out like, I wonder why this was so loud for me last night. I wonder why I didn't like, what could I have tried more of? Like I just kind of process it. Takes me about 5 to 10 minutes and we're done. Okay. So that's my personal stuff on excuses. Now, let me tell you what I want to teach you. So if you are new, this is a Q&A call. You can put questions in the Q&A box. I'll be happy to answer any questions about excuses. Usually though, I would probably wait about 10 minutes. Like let me get to going and then you can ask your questions because sometimes the shit gets answered before we even get started. Mish will also be in the Q&A and she'll answer anything that's not related to this. So if it's not related to this topic, you can always ask live. Mish will get that answered for you. If you want to take our No Excuses course, it is inside this month in No BS. You can watch the No Excuses video lessons that we released. You can come to these Q&As where there's always a different topic, or you can just listen to the replay. We drop the replays on Fridays of these calls, so you can always just tune in for the replays. And then you can also post in Facebook and ask coaches on anything that you need help with as you're doing it. All right. So today, the top three excuses that make doable hunger hard. Number one, it tastes so good. Give me an emoji if you have, like, your brain loves to be like, oh my God, tastes so good. Shit. I want to keep eating. Me too. Oh my gosh. That is my number one right there. Like, some of mine are more, I have like a mix. A lot of times, I don't want to do things. It's kind of like my big thing. It's like, I don't have time. I want to do this, whatever. But when it comes to food, when I'm eating, it tastes so good is the one excuse that has never left my side. It is like, girl, I am your ride or die. We are besties. Oh my God. And guess what? This excuse is going to be with you even more because of the way I teach you to lose weight. Why? Because we're fucking eating tasty food. Like, seriously. So, like, I like to think about this excuse as, this really is, it's kind of a good excuse. It's kind of like one of those, it's like, you know what? I'm glad that now I am in the position to have this excuse. Because I could be doing a shitty diet where I never ate anything I liked. And I could be sitting around all the time with the excuse of, this sucks. I should go get that. Like, so I want you to think about, you're going to have excuses no matter what the fuck you're doing. So we might as well have one that's like a worthy one. And to me, like, we are so blessed in No BS. We are so lucky that this is one of the excuses we get to work through. Because when I'm on a sad fucking diet that sucks ass, I don't get this one. The only time I get this one is when the rare occasion I get to eat something that tastes good, and then I just lose all fucking control. Because I'm never eating anything that, like, tastes good. So one of the things that I like to tell myself is I always like to, like, I write about this and I think about this all the time. It's like, just because something tastes good, it doesn't mean I can't stop it enough. It just means I'm enjoying my food. So a lot of times y'all have a thought about when something tastes good and you're like, and that means I can't stop it enough. It's like, that is not what that means. You haven't practiced it enough. You might have been on so many past diets that whenever you're eating anything that tastes good, that you still have that trigger response of, I'm being bad. I'm being naughty. So rather than your brain saying like, oh, you're being so bad, sometimes our brain will say like, it tastes so good, just keep eating. You rarely get this. So like if you were on a past diet where you rarely did get tasty things, this excuse is usually one of the biggest ones that will come up when you're stopping at enough, because your brain is not used to you getting to eat tasty food often. It's only used to eating tasty food when you are off the rails. Well, basically when you're off the rails. I mean, I just want you to think about this when you are a dieter. Most traditional diets, I mean, you might have some things you enjoy, but if you're doing a lot of traditional diets, you're not able to eat food you really love. Like if you are going to have a cookie, you got to have a diet cookie. If you're going to eat pizza, it's got to be a diet pizza. If you're, you know, like if you love nachos, no. Like you got to eat chicken and broccoli. Like it's just, I want you to think about, like if you love bread, well, you really should be doing keto. Like I want you to think about how diets have really abused us over the years. And I mean, that sounds a little dramatic, but it's really not. We have been told so much horseshit around food as women, around all the things, that we come into no BS very often with a very bastardized relationship. And if this is your excuse, you need to look at some of that stuff. You need to be looking at like, oh my gosh, if I'm always saying it tastes so good, there's a hidden meaning behind it. Like this is really good information. So one hidden meaning is, do I still think these foods are bad for me? Because if I'm thinking this is bad, I'm going to now trigger past diet trauma. And which means is if I don't start rewiring how I think about these foods, every time I eat them, I'm going to want to eat a lot of it because my brain will falsely think you're not going to get this again. This is going to be taken away because you shouldn't be eating it anyway. So that's stuff to work on and ask coaches. That is perfect things to be journaling on. The way I would journal this is I would take a food that you think tastes so good and you have a hard time stopping it. Take the food and start writing about why the food was never, ever the problem with your weight gain. And I want you to answer that question. Why was this food never really the problem? Because like people can lose weight eating anything. So let's say it's candy. Candy's an easy one because it's like, it's candy, right? And everybody probably is like, well, I don't know about candy. We shouldn't be eating a lot of candy. You've never gained weight because you ate candy. You've probably gained weight because when you have ate candy, it has been because it's filling an unmet emotional need. There are thin people all over the world who eat candy and they eat a lot of candy. And it's not because they're naturally thin, but they're only eating it when they're really going to like enjoy it. When it's more for that, when they're not eating it because it's there, it's free, they've had a bad day, they don't know how to soothe themselves, it's the only way they connect to their partner. They're just used to eating it at the movies, never even tried not eating it at the movies. Like, I just want you to think about all the reasons why we would eat candy. And when you can prove to yourself that, just like Elizabeth just said, this is such a great comment. My grandma always had candy in her house and she was thin. She just had a little whenever she wanted. I had a grandfather like that. My great grandfather, Papa Hooper. He loved his sweets, loved them. And he had a little sweet something every single day. But we knew that when Papa Hooper was ready to eat his candy, don't bother him. He would sit in his living room chair in his little old house. He'd turn on the news and he'd have his little bit of candy every day. For him, that was like a sacred moment. And the rest of the day, he just ate like out of the garden, normal shit. Like he wasn't like I want you to, and I know he was a man, but that doesn't matter, but that he was a man. I just want you to be thinking about you. And you need to dispel this idea that you can't lose weight on certain foods. Unless you have a diagnosed medical condition, that is a lot of diet programming that has told you that. And I want y'all to be real clear on that. Because you can eat things if you're eating it to enough and you're not filling unmet emotional needs. Now, here's the other thing that happens with it tastes so good. One thing I want you to do is dispel the myth around the post-diet trauma. The other reason why it tastes so good pops up for a lot of people is this is the time of day that you own, like when you're eating something that tastes good, it may be the only time of the day where you ever get any kind of rest, relief, relaxation, or comfort. So again, it is not the food. And it's not because it tastes so good. The real problem that you want to be telling yourself is, you know, it's not that I can't stop when something tastes good. The real problem is I have these unmet emotional needs. Like I go, go, go all day long. And if the first time I ever get to relax is when I sit down and I eat something that tastes good, it makes sense that it would be hard to stop because my brain is equating, you're not going to get any more time to yourself. So you better keep eating because I don't want this moment to end. It's not that the body is still wanting the food. It's, I don't want this emotional need that's getting met. I don't want this part to end. So then we have a good problem to solve. Now we get to start journaling on how can I start meeting more of my emotional needs? What things in my life need to be said or need to be changed in order to truly have either better days or even at dinner? What could I be doing so that I can truly stop? But also it's like, I coached somebody on this the other day. They were always eating like the last three bites because it tastes so good. And it really was, she was just like, I just know that right after I finish eating, I got to start the kids. I got to do all this other stuff. And I said, so can we just slow this down for a second? When those last three bites are sitting there, instead of telling yourself, I need to eat this, just say, there's 10 seconds of food left on my plate. And all I'm really wanting is to not start taking care of my kids right now. So do I want to eat for 10 seconds and feel like I've now got like, I've like, okay, you rested, now go, go, go. Or do I want to say like, you know what? I'm going to trade those 10 seconds of extra food for 10 minutes of sitting. If I don't care if you have to go to the bathroom and sit on a toilet by yourself. Go find you some peace and quiet for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Start making a better trade for what your real need is. So when it tastes so good, we got to be sitting there and we got to be thinking about, it's not that you can't stop eating when something tastes good. It's probably that you're not doing enough work on figuring out your unmet emotional needs and working on fulfilling those. In that moment, you're not telling yourself like, you know what? You are going to get this food again. You are going to get this food again. And we're not going to finish it today. I know it's going to feel like ass. You are going to want to rail against it. It might even feel depriving and stuff. But I know 100% sure this food, not eating these last few bites, is not depriving. And you have to like rationalize it. And I will tell you, when people say like, it's so hard to lose weight, this is what I call the hard part. The hard part isn't being hungry. Because I don't have you get real hungry. The hard part isn't stopping at enough. The hard part really is the mental conversations that you need to be having with yourself. We're not used to doing that. We are just used to whatever our brain says, being like, well, throwing our hands up and saying there's nothing I can do about it. And then you try really hard diets. And then you further this, like perpetuate this story in your head that that losing weight's hard. So it's like, well, because I couldn't stop enough of the bread tonight, then for the next week, I'm not planning any bread. I would probably say, like, and we're going to go again tomorrow and again and again and again until I've talked to you so much and I've given you so much exposure therapy on bread that this brain can calm the fuck down around bread. Because for the rest of my life, I can't cut out bread. Any one of you that thinks that you're going to cut something out, lose a lot of weight and feel so good about yourself and then add foods back in without any fucking practice is like saying, well, I'm just going to give the keys to my 16-year-old. I mean, they have been driving with me since birth. They have witnessed me doing this for so long. And now that they're 16, they're ready. How many of you would be throw the keys at a 16-year-old and you're going to ride a shotgun, but you can't say a word and you can't even grab the steering wheel? You're just going to have to witness the greatness of it. And y'all going to drive for 3 straight hours in traffic. That is what a lot of you want to do when it comes to, I'm going to cut these foods out and then I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to feel so fucking amazing that I'll have plenty of control. I'm just going to love me so much by then and be so proud of me by then that these foods won't have a control over me. Bullshit. The only way we get control over food is we have to practice with food. We have to practice the mental conversations we need to have. That's the only way. And I'm just telling you, if you're trying to snow yourself on the other side, good fucking luck to you. Go do it. Like, quit no BS. Go try some bullshit. I'll see you in 6 months. That's what's going to happen. Because a lot of people do this in no BS. They try it. They don't really want to do the thought work part. They don't really want to be thinking about it. Like, oh, I just want an easy diet. And when I lose the weight, I just want a lot of rules and an easy diet that I can just follow. And when I lose the weight, I'll be fine. They go off, they do said diet, they lose a little weight, they gain it all back plus some, and then they're back here. And there's nothing wrong with those people. I know some of you are on this call right now, and that was you. Here's what I want to tell you. Don't make the mistake again. Don't ever do that again. Cutting shit out, doing something really hard and unsustainable, whatever that stuff is, all it does is it makes the next time even harder to break the diet mentality. It makes it harder to eat foods that taste good because now you're continuing to try to be someone who villainizes food. And we don't want to form the identity of that person anymore. We want to break that habit. All right. So that's it tastes so good. The next one is fuck it. Or I might as well. Or I'll do better tomorrow. It's kind of a big old mishmash of all of these. Some of us are just like, fuck it, I'm eating this. Some of us are like, well, I might as well. I just had a couple of bites. And some of us are just like, you know what? I'm just going to finish this off. I'm just going to get this out of my system because I'm going to do better tomorrow. And this leads us a little bit back to it tastes so good. It's like this whole I'll do better tomorrow and fuck it mentality comes back to thinking somehow you're going to get foods out of your system. So I want you all to do a little experiment with me for a moment. I want you to think about your all-time favorite food. Like we all going to die and we're going to go to heaven and there's going to be a waterfall and it is just flowing. And you can swim through the luscious waters at the bottom of your favorite food and eat your way through it. I think ham. All right. I was like, ham. Mine is like, I got a lot of them, but I almost think if I was going to be swimming in a luxury bath and eating my way through it, probably be really good cream potatoes. I love me some cream potatoes. When I go to Vegas, room service every night. They know Miss Crabtree is going to be ordering cream. I don't care what I order. And I would like a side of cream potatoes because I love mashed potatoes. All right. So we're all eating our food, all this other stuff. Now I want you to think about this. If I brought to your house right now and I force fed you to eat it, Like, now eat your fill, because I'm taking it away for the rest of your life. Would you be able to say, like, okay, and I'm never going to miss it again? You know, I'm going to get that one last shot. I'm really glad you're doing this, Corinne, because my brain is probably never going to think about this food ever, ever, ever again. Said no one ever. Not one of you can ever eat so much of a favorite food and get it out of your system. It does not happen. It's the same thing with the Last Supper mentality. Last Suppers are so dumb. It ain't the Last Supper. Like, in no BS, we don't even need a Last Supper. Because whatever you ate at your Last Supper, you could just plan that on Monday. We're just not going to eat it as if it's the last meal before we get hung on a cross. Because this is the whole thing. I want you to think about the whole idea of the Last Supper. Jesus sitting there having his Last Supper because he knows he's going to fucking die the next day. He's going to be suffering and stuff. And we use that term because we're like, here I am. I better eat all this because I'm going to die tomorrow. I'm going to be suffering as of tomorrow. That's the problem. I'm not teaching you to set up a diet that causes suffering. I'm trying to teach you how to lose weight in a way that sets you up to like the food you're eating, learn how to eat it to where your body feels good, to include things that take care of you. We're never going to starve ourselves ever again. We're also not going to overfill ourselves. Because we now, because we're so good at neglecting our own needs. I just want you to think about that. You don't ever need a Last Supper and no BS. I'm not sending you off to die. I'm actually sending you off to live a better life. And so, like, if you hear yourself doing that, you need to remind yourself, like, oh my gosh, this is just a symptom of old diet mentality. And we have to continually, like, the message of the day is you have to hear yourself and then you have to talk to yourself. Hear and talk, hear and talk. There's like two of you in there. If you're like me, there's like 40 of you in there, actually. I'm like, we're a posse. There's a lot of versions of Corinne living up in this head. But when it comes to most of the time, you've got two main characters that lead all the personalities. One is the one that's just like, I'm just sending you up everything that anybody's ever told me. And I'm just going to tell you all the things I think would be easy right now. And I'm just going to like, I don't really have your future in mind. That is the habit brain's job. The habit brain's job is not to have your future in mind. Your habit brain's job is to only talk to you about the here and now and what it thinks is important right now. And it's always, always, always trying to prioritize anything that makes the here and now feel easier, even if it's at your detriment. It's always like, we can deal with that later. I'm going to let that rational brain deal with that later. It's always trying to kick the can down the road. Your rational brain is the one that comes in and is like, my job is to protect our future. My job is to think through things. Your job is not to think through things. Your job is to just to send some automatic shit up. My job is to translate that into, here's what we're actually going to do, because I'm thinking about all the things. I'm not just thinking about our immediate need. I'm thinking about all of our needs. And so you've got to bring those two together. They have to work together because they're both in there and neither one of them will ever go away. And you need your automatic brain. Your automatic brain is the one that's like, if you're, say you're walking down a dark alley and you get a weird sense that you should start running, because you like slightly heard something, that's your automatic brain kicking in going, run. You do not want your rational brain in that moment to be like, now, wait a minute. Can we just look around for a second? I mean, I know we're in a dark alley at 2 a.m. and we heard something really weird, but I think we should think about this. You know, you are in heels. I don't know how good it is for you to be running in your heels. You do not want the rational brain then. So you can't wish your habit brain away. Your habit brain works a lot of the time on your behalf. It's just when it comes to goals, your habit brain sucks. But we can't turn it off. We're not selective. So we have to negotiate. So some of the things when it comes to fuck it or I might as well is it signals perfectionism. So this is like for you, like if you think about this, when we're going to do a fuck it eat, it's probably because you really need to start working on your perfectionism. This is the perfect time to be working on it. Like I want you to think about how much better the rest of your life would be if you only worked on your perfectionism on like saying like, you know what? I did mess up a little bit, but I don't have to keep going. Why fuck up the rest of the meal? Why fuck up the rest of the day when I'm at a point now where I can just stop and save the rest of it? Why not just do that? When you do that, one, you work on the relationship with you. You know, because most of you are going to immediately go into fuck it, you screwed up, you might as well, you're never going to get this and all this other stuff. I want you to start seeing that as the golden moment. So before you start eating, I want you to say like, this is my golden moment. This is the like in these moments, this is where my whole life gets to change. Because if I can learn in these moments to not further screw things up simply because I'm mean to myself, if I can learn how to stop talking to myself like I am and start thinking about what I can do for myself, so much of my life could change. That's why I think sometimes losing weight is one of the best things we can do for ourselves. It's not just for our health and to be able to wear the clothes we want and whatnot. It's because it teaches us so much about how we want to be treated internally by ourselves. Because that internal conversation is the 24/7 conversation. It's the most important conversation. It is the one that matters. It matters more than what anybody else says. Because no matter what anybody else says, when they say something, it triggers an automatic internal conversation with you. And so when we are working on that, when we get to where we are like Teflon, when it comes to our own shit and the world shit, oh my gosh, our life just gets so much better because we can think through things. We can think through our fears. We can think through all the things. So I want you to use that as your golden moment. And then these are things that I always tell myself. Why fuck up the day when I can save it? Breathe and remind yourself that anytime you catch yourself is progress. But eating more over this is truly is what's going to make the scale go up and screw things up. And then I always like this one for myself. Tomorrow, I'm going to wake up with the same thoughts and feelings unless I start changing them right now. And then the last one is the I deserve it eating. This is where food is the way that you are kind of rewarding yourself. But here's the things I want you to know. Number one, food is not a reward for being good or because you've had a hard day. This is more of a sign that you're not rewarding yourself mentally enough for doing a good job. So if you survive the day, what would it take for you to instead of telling yourself, I deserve to eat this, what would it take in that moment to say, other than food? What do I deserve to tell myself about today, about me? It is such a good trigger. It's another golden moment because then this forces you to start having better conversations with yourself, acknowledging things that you normally don't. And it may feel uncomfortable. And that's good because if the only way you know how to reward yourself is with food, it means that you don't know how to talk to yourself in a way that feels good about your accomplishments. You dismiss them. You don't want to be bragging. It's like, girl, this is in your head. No one is going to like bragging is saying good things about yourself in an effort, in a conscious effort to make other people feel bad. You are not bragging. Let's just get really good at shining in front of ourselves first. Then you get to decide how much you want to promote it to the world. Also, We have to watch out for what the definition of good is. Sometimes you'll say, I was good today, meaning, well, I skipped meals. That's not a good thing. Denying yourself food should never be celebrated, especially denying yourself food because you needed it. What we want to do is we want to get better at figuring out a way to make sure that our body is getting the food it needs and deserves, not glorifying and then overeating, glorifying missing a meal and then overeating because of it. The next one is good isn't sacrificing your needs all day. So sometimes when we say I've been good all day, like I want you to look. It's like, was I good all day or am I labeling it good when really what happened today was I put me in last place over and over and over again. And there were opportunities for me not to do that. I may not be comfortable with that. So I need to learn how to get comfortable with it because it's not good. I don't want to call it being good all day anymore if being good means I kill myself in an effort to make it through the day. That is perfect things to take to ask coaches. These are just signs to work on how to have a better, how to take care, better care of yourself, not overeat, and then mislabel it as being good. I just want you to call it what it is, unmet needs. Anytime you're saying, I deserve it, I want you to say, like, what is the unmet need going on here? Because I bet you there's something else I deserve. There's probably something else I truly want. I'm kind of tired of food being the only way to meet it. And then it doesn't have to be something big. So one of the things that you can do is you can think about what you deserve outside of food, your basic human needs. And we're going to be talking so much more about basic human needs in the coming months. But sometimes you can do what we call micro self-care. When you're not ready to do the big time stuff, you can do micro, which means like, well, I was talking about like if you're going to be planning, you know, take that 5 minutes and tell yourself, is this 5 minutes for me to just think about what foods I'm going to need today so that I'm not skipping meals, grab ass and stuff, and ending the day feeling like shit, I blew it again. I'll never get it together. I don't want that for me anymore. Scrolling social, I will tell you. Every night I have a routine. I always text Chris when I'm done working for the day and I go lay in the bed. And the first thing I do is I play all my New York Times games. So I play Wordle, I play Strands, Waffle, and Connections. I love those. I also like Tiles, but I don't play it every day. I play my games first because it's mindless and I love it. And then I go straight to Instagram Reels and I just watch silly fucking Reels until he comes to bed. Sometimes I scroll Pinterest because I love scrolling Pinterest too. But for me, that's fun. That is the way that I wind down and I take a break. I have no shame over that. Maybe you just need to text a friend. Micro self-care can be just texting a friend like, girl, I'm just having a bad day. Like, just Jane used to send me an umbrella, which meant it's raining shit. I feel like the shit is just like the thunderstorm of shit is on me. And she would just text one umbrella and that, and I would just say like, hey, what do you need? Do you need anything? And sometimes I would be just on silence, but she would tell me just sending you an SOS made me feel better. And then sometimes she would just say, I just screwed this up and I'm being so hard on myself and blah, blah. And then I could talk to her about it just really quick with a text. And then sometimes writing what was good about your day. Sometimes we just need like 2 minutes, even if you do it in your notes app, if you don't even want to do it, you know, on paper, just writing about like, was there anything good about the day? Just like today. Well, today, like this window's open. I have a really busy day. I have been working since 6 in the morning. Like, I would say nothing extraordinary has happened today. But if I had to write what's good about today, I will tell you one thing. That window's open and it's like 70 degrees outside and it feels amazing. And that right there just gives me that micro moment of self-care just to remind myself there's always something. Just look for it. even if your micro moment is like in the middle of all the shit and the chaos and the sadness and whatever it is, at least I'm checking in with myself. That's micro self-care too. Okay. So one of the things that I would love for y'all to do is I want you to pick one of the excuses that you learned today or anything that you learned today. And I want you to take it to the Facebook group. And I would love for you to tell everyone what you got out of it. Just one thing. And if you want, you can tell us, this is what I got out of it. This is what I'm going to try. Tonight, when I hear this excuse, I'm going to do this, whatever it is. I would love to see in the Facebook group, like a really good bunch of people. There was over 400 of you on this call at one point. I would love for a bunch of you to go in there and tell us so that we can drive the conversation as much as we can this month on overcoming our excuses. Not just saying, this is my excuse, womp, womp, sad face emoji. No, I want you to go into the group and I want you to talk about, here's the one I've been using and here's what I'm willing to do. I'm going to try these things. I'm going to see what happens. And then that way, everybody is getting a lot of ideas and a lot of people can go in there and talk about it and stuff. And y'all can like work together on this. This is the part of being in NoBS that makes it so different from other programs. You have the power of your community. You have Ask Coaches. You have these live interactions. And then you've got like pre-recorded content. So you can really do a lot of this in your own time. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see you. I believe I see you this Sunday. Bye, y'all.